There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning into this Friday edition of the podcast. We close out this week on the podcast with Thanksgiving. We want to thank the Lord, at least for now. Our sound system seems to be fixed, seems to be operating correctly, and we certainly rejoice in that. And we certainly are thankful for each and every one of you that listen, and all of our faithful listeners. I know we have some new listeners, folks that have recently begun to listen. They've contacted us, let us know they're listening, and we certainly appreciate you listening. We want to be a help. We do this daily to try to be a doctrinal help. And again, I'm not criticizing, I'm not putting off. There are men that do interviews, there are people that do a mix of music and sound clips and edits and news reports. You can do a podcast however you want to, but we made up our minds we're just going to do doctrine. And so we just teach 15 minutes in the fashion of the old radio broadcast. That's the fashion that we use and the manner in which we record. And like those men of old on the radio, they spent about 15 minutes just teaching and preaching the Word of God. And so I hope that's a help to you today as we go to Hebrews chapter 12. And those of you that know the Bible, you understand that we probably got another week left in the book of Hebrews, and then we'll have to make some decisions concerning the Word of God and where we go next. But here in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and there's much in this chapter. This chapter takes at least three left turns that we know of, two right turns, and then it spins around a little bit. But I just want to go through the first several verses here, and we see this, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And what is that great cloud of witnesses? And there's a lot of thought on that. There's many, many thoughts on that great cloud of witnesses. But we know this. We know that we glory in tribulations, for tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And we do that because we know there's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe personally that my wife, who lost two children in the womb, we believe the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when those cells divide and that blood goes into those cells, we believe that's the conception of life. We preach that doctrinally. We believe that biblically. And then when God breathes that breath of life into that infant becomes a living soul. While it's in the womb, my friend, it is still viable. It is still living. It is still a baby. We don't know for sure the gender of our children. We don't know if they were male or if they were female. We don't know much about them. We just know that in the womb, my wife had tested positive, and there's at one point that they tested some things that absolutely this was a child, this was a viable fetus, as they call it. We call it a baby, and we know for sure. I believe those two are in that great cloud of witnesses. Now you say, well, that's just kind of whimsical thinking on your part. Well, let me tell you this. It has helped me many a time. When I realize I may have two children up there, and I say that pretty confidently. When I say may, I say there's maybe a 0.01% chance they're not watching. Amen? And I believe they're up there and they're saying, come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on, live right. All right, do right. Do what's right. I believe there's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe I got loved ones up there. I got grandparents up there. Rebecca's got her father up there. I got a stepfather up there. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Many church members who've gone on before. Seven funerals we were a part of last year. Many of them affiliated with our church, some outside of our church. And yet, that's a great cloud of witnesses. Those that have been saved by the good grace of God, those who are absent from the body, they are present with the Lord, and they're looking down, cheering us on. That's a great cloud of witnesses. And people say, well, how do you know they're cheering? Well, there's presence. In the presence of the angels, there's joy. Is there not? There's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels. One sinner is converted. And I believe that rejoicing doesn't cease. I believe that rejoicing doesn't stop. And when they hear the preaching of the Word of God, they may just cry, holy, holy, holy. They must cry, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's what the Word of God says. They might just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's what the Word of God says. They might say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's what the Word of God says. But that great cloud of witnesses looking on, They're looking down and they're looking at us, and it's because he says, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Did I mention the Lord Jesus Christ is in that cloud of witnesses? Did I mention the Father's in that cloud of witnesses? Did I mention the Holy Ghost in that cloud of witnesses? Did I mention to you, my friend, the angels of God are in that cloud of witnesses? And if you don't believe that, that's why we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What happens first, though? We're going to meet those saints of God in the clouds. That's the Word of God said. That's what the cloud of witnesses is. We're going to meet them in the clouds. Then we'll be with the Lord in the air after we meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is an order to these things. And that cloud of witnesses is where the saints of God are. He tells you that for sure. And therefore, because of these factors, because of these things, the Apostle Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There it is. Therefore, if there's no cloud of witnesses, why bother? Because that great cloud of witnesses, they've been there. They've lived it. They've walked this life. They've lived this life. When he speaks of these men of faith in the previous chapter, these women receive their dead raised to life again. Is that not the promise for every mother that's ever miscarried a child? Is that not the promise for every woman who's ever gone down to the grave and had to lay a husband or lay a baby or lay a teenager in the ground? Is that not the hope of every father that's laid a wife in the ground, a child in the ground? Is that not the hope? Women receive their dead raised to life again. You say, on this side of eternity? No, although we saw that in the scriptures. But what we see today, there's a resurrection unto life. That life is in Jesus Christ. That is the cloud of witnesses. Because of that, and we're seeing these things, let us lay aside every weight. Those things that just are heavy on us. Those things that just keep us bogged down, keep us heavily laden down. But then he said this also, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I've had some disagreement. That's fine. You're welcome to disagree with that. In fact, if you want to call and disagree, just make sure you leave your name, your number, complete address, complete email address, social security number, two forms of credit card, and a $50 payment. We'll be glad to address that issue with you. A lot of folks like to address these things. But he said the sin. He doesn't say the sins. I heard my entire life, the sins that doth so easily beset us. You got to go find those little things that plague you down. You know, your pornography addictions and your lust. No, actually, they never talk about those. You know, the fact that you don't read your Bible enough, you don't pray enough. And, you know, the fact that you just sometimes you don't go soul winning enough. And on Tuesday nights, you're too tired to go soul winning. So those sins, you lay aside those sins. But you know what the Word of God said here? He said the sin that doth so easily beset it. You know what my sin is that besets me is me. It is my sin nature. God has not eradicated. God's given me a new nature. God has given me the spirit of his dear son. God has given me the witness of God internally. God has given me the ministry of the Holy Ghost internally. He's done all those things for me. But can I say to you, my friend, what God has done in me has not necessarily changed the person that I am in that old nature. And that old nature is against God. That old nature is lazy and indifferent and cold. That old nature doesn't love God. That old nature could care less about God. And that is the most besetting thing in my life. The thing that will push me back to the back further than anything else in my life and in my being is that old nature. And that's why he said the sin that doth so easily beset us. Why? Because I am the one thing that will set me back faster than anything else in this world. I can blame people. I could blame my wife, I could blame my family, I could blame my church. And say, you know, if I had a better church, I'd be a better person. No, it's my sin that besets me. If I had better children, I'd be a better person. No, it is my sin that besets me. If I had a better wife, oh my goodness, you imagine what a great Christian I'd be. Well, you know what's funny about that is I kind of forget that, you know, 11 years ago, right before I got married, I was really a pretty awful person back then. And the only good thing in me then was Jesus Christ. So if I add my spouse to that, and I'm going to blame her for the awful person that I am, I'd say I'm probably pretty far off base because it's the sin that does so easily beset me. And you can't blame everybody else for your problems. You can't blame everybody else for your failure. You can't blame everybody else for the sin that is besetting you. Oh, if these women weren't so beautiful, I wouldn't lust. You know, if these men weren't so handsome, I wouldn't lust. If men weren't so wealthy and dressed so nice, I wouldn't want another husband. And you know, if these women just wouldn't wink at me all the time, you know, they're not winking. They got dust in their eye, and you're just perverse in your thinking, and you think they're winking at you because you still think you got it, and you don't have it. That's your sin telling you that. That's that sin nature. That's what is besetting you in your life. And he said this, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And he said it easily besets us. Why? Because it could beset me 100 times a day. I can fall easily 70 times in a day. That's not a problem. And how often do I have to get up? I need to get up 70 times. So what do? I lay aside that sin. He said to let us. That's permissive. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Why? Because that sin besets all of us. That sin is an absolute failure on all of us. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patiently looking for the coming of the Lord, patiently awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. But then he also said this, patiently running the race. And I know people use the race analogy, and they said, well, Apostle Paul, he was the day when they played all those games. And, you know, I think when Paul got saved, he probably quit going to the games from things I've read. If you don't believe me, look up the root of the word gymnasium in the Greek, and you'll find a few things, the Greek and the Latin. There's two root words. You look at either one of them, they're both unclean. But he talks about that race. Why is it called the race? Because we're striving. We're trying to get there. We're trying to obtain. We're trying to reach. Can I say to you, it's not that I want to be the first one to get to heaven, but I want to run my race with patience. And I want to run it with patience because it's set before us to run. God has put this in front of me. God didn't put the weights on me. God didn't beset me. God didn't beset me with my own sin. No, he hasn't. He's put the race before me that I can run with patience, not get overthrown, not divert, not change, stay true, walk with God, continue with God, not get overthrown with all the foolishness of this life, the wickedness of this life. And God put that race in front of me. And here's how we do it. Looking unto Jesus. Thank God for that. I'm glad we can see him. And the only way you're going to see him, by the way, is in the scripture. And people say, well, I'm going to pray till I see Jesus. Well, read your Bible, you'll see him. People say, well, I'm just going to keep staring at the sky till I see Jesus. Read your Bible and you'll see him. And the only way you're going to know him when he comes is by the word of God, just to let you know that. There are many Christs who have already come into this world, but they're all antichrists. And people have followed them because they didn't believe the word of God. And they said, oh, here is Jesus, here is Christ. And they followed him, but he was antichrist. And so the only way you're going to find Jesus Christ, the only way you're going to look unto Jesus is by the word of God. And he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has designed it. He has implemented it. It's our faith. Why? Because it's through him. And because he implemented that, we have that faith through him. We can do what God has required us to do. We can run that race. We can continue on without falling by the wayside. We can continue on without being beset if we'll just look unto Jesus. And he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, I'm not going to put the soundbite back in there. Again, I put it in there just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody had sent me that soundbite, Brother Sammy. Thank God for that. The joy that was set before him. Who is it? That's you and I, friend. That joy that was set before him. His eternal joy is in us. And when he sees that old sinner come to him, he sees that old sinner come empty-handed, he's willing to save. And my friend, he'll save that sinner to the uttermost, make him a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that sinner begins to look for him, begins to long for him, begins to yearn for him. And oh, how he loves it, how he adores it, how he loves when those old sinners come to him by faith. And they just believe him. And they come and they look for him and they long for him. And they just want to touch him. And you say, well, that's going a little bit too far. Well, read your Bible. And one came and touched the hem of his garment. He was very satisfied. Another came to where he was. A blind man came to where he was, looking for Jesus Christ. A man by the pool of Siloam was looking for someone to put him in the waters. And Jesus Christ said, nah, no need to get in the water, and just healed him. Who did that man love the rest of his days? Who did that woman love the rest of her days? Who did that blind man love the rest of his days? Who's that one of the lepers that came back? Who did he love the rest of his days? He loved the Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. Old blind Bartimaeus. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thank God for that. Jesus Christ loves it. He loves them. That joy was set before him. Can you imagine the joy in Jesus Christ when he heard that old blind man say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The joy that was set before him. The joy that filled his heart. Someone not only knew who he was, they believed who he was. And thank God for that. Thank God he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Thank God he believed he was the Son of David. He was the root and the offspring of David. That bright and morning star, Jesus Christ, the righteous. the joy that was set before him. And because of that joy, he endured the cross. And that's exactly what he did. He endured the cross, despising the shame when they mocked him and scoffed at him and ripped the hair off of his face, put that crown of thorns on his head, took that robe and put it upon his back, gave him the mockeries and the scoffings and the spittings and the pummelings and the revilings, and then nailed him to the cross. He despised it all. He despised the shame. He endured the cross. But then the Word of God said this, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And my friend, there's every sinner that's ever come to him. Every sinner that's believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've come to that place to find him at the right hand of the throne of God. They've come through repentance. They believe the word of God. They're done. They're finished. They threw in the towel. They've surrendered. They're his and he is mine, the word of God tells us. And my friend, all that joy. And if you need a good reminder today how to lay aside those weights, that sin that does so easily beset us, just remember that he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and today, even as I preach this podcast, he is sitting at the right hand of God. Have a great weekend.
There's a lost soul who started up his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.